Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Poisoner's Cabinet. I'm Sinead.
And I'm Nick.
And this is your weekly podcast, exploring the lives of the great poisoners and poisoning cases from across the centuries, and creating curious cocktails inspired by the tales that we tell. And it's episode 35!
35!
Saints alive, it's 35!
Is that a thing?
Yes.
Is that a bingo thing?
No.
I thought you were being clever and bingo-y.
No, I think I heard it somewhere once, and then when I turned 35, I shouted it a lot and people told me to stop.
It was wise of them.
How are you, Nick?
I'm very well.
Yay!
How are you?
I'm all right. This is the first time we started an episode with extra cocktails.
Yes, this is the pre-cocktail cocktail.
This is. Normally, we sometimes have a soft drink. We sometimes might get a little gin because it takes us a while to set up. But you just went all out. You just went in there mixing.
I want a drink.
What have you got?
Well, I've got a Red Hook because I like them a lot.
You love a Red Hook.
I do love a Red Hook.
They are very delicious.
Yes.
And we did use it on one episode.
Mm. We did use it on our episode, yes.
And not to be outdone. Well, Nick was going through his cupboards going, I need to make more uses of this lychee liqueur. And I went, I'll have a shot of that. So I've got a tiny, dainty glass of lychee liqueur.
Glass. It is very dainty.
It's gorgeous. It's so perfumed and lovely. And I feel very special. I feel like a lady of the South.
Okay. You are a lady of the South. You live in the South of England. Lady of Kent. They're known for their lychees.
They're known for that. Lychees, not so much over here. Where do lychees come from? China?
Yeah, sort of Asian-y, yes. That neck of the woods.
East.
The Orient. The mystic Orient. Potentially. Or, I don't know, it could be France.
Any poisonings this week?
No.
No.
It's very dull of late.
All your plans of Afghana Glade.
Well, they have. But no, it's been very unexciting.
Well, the weather's turned. It gets dark.
The weather has turned, indeed.
We need to use the cover of darkness.
Right.
You're really looking like you're actually really thinking about it.
How would that work? I would get the wrong thing in the wrong glass.
Oh, yeah, actually. I was imagining you sneaking up on people going, but poisoning,
No, that's not how poisoning works. Oh, you're a really bad poisoner.
You're sneaking up on someone, can you just drink this, please?
Yes. What about a cocktail? Very nice.
I'd be fine with that on a darkened street.
So that's perhaps not the way to go.
Oh, well. You know what we should do, Nick?
What should we do?
We should thank our Patreon subscribers.
Hello.
Sexy Patreon subscribers. Lovely people. We would like to thank Matt Toppin.
So, and thank you very much to Phoebe for joining us on this exciting Patreon poisoning adventure.
And thank you, Heather, Buzzle, and what Nick said.
Yes.
You really overdid your one,
well,
didn't you?
Well, I thought that was the last one, because last time I looked, there wasn't that one, so... Then a new person sprung that on me. I was not expecting Heather.
Just like, yes, thank you. That's a little bit like the Wizard of Oz. I'm like, Scarecrow, I think I'll miss you most of all. The other's like, wow, that's just mean. Heather and Matt, I love you.
Now Nick, I sound like a bastard.
Clearly drawn a line in the sand where his favourites are on Patreon. No, we love all of you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Patreon journey. It's been fun over on Patreon. We've gotten spooky. We're getting all Halloween-y. We've got some really good episodes coming up with some special guests.
Some exciting things going on.
Which will be revealed soon.
If you reveal them to me as well. I'm going. Yes, that sounds great. I don't know what's going on. I just do what I'm told.
So, Nick.
Yes.
Are you ready to drink cocktails and talk about poison?
Well, I've already got a cocktail.
Or we could throw that away and drink poison and talk about cocktails.
See, now, I have never heard you talk such nonsense.
Throwing a cocktail away.
What the hell are you talking about, woman?
You know when you're getting old, when you can't finish a drink? And I never thought that would happen.
Oh, it does. I get very upset. It's been a long week. It's a Friday night. I'm at work and I think, oh, I'm just really looking forward to a nice couple of glasses of wine tonight. Watch a film or something like that. I get home. Oh, I don't want a glass of wine. Or I pour a glass of wine and go,
I can't even finish the first glass of wine.
I mean, God, I used to be like 3 bottles a night.
Jesus.
Well, when I was younger and going out partying and such like, I drink...
That's a lot of wine.
Not every night.
I can drink a lot of gin, to be fair.
On a Friday night or something with friends, I could easily get through 3 bottles. Not a problem. But now it's like 1 glass and I'm going, that's enough for me.
It's just effort. I just want an early night and an early morning. What a get up with the
door. But I don't do that. I have an early night, then I have a very late morning as well. So it's just like, didn't really work.
You always convince yourself when you're talking to people when you haven't really had a big night out and go, oh, you know, it was really nice waking up nice and fresh and early and not with a hangover, and then you just wander around your house going, what do I do at this time of day? Yeah. Brunch? It's 7. Well, let's just start drinking now.
It's generally upsetting.
Well, that won't be the issue tonight.
I should hope not.
For there shall be many cocktails and there shall be many stories.
Well, at least 2.
Seeing as we're here, we're going to drink cocktails, we're going to talk about poisons, but obviously we can't start talking about poison without a cocktail in hand.
See, whenever you do that, you go, we can't. I always think it's the Wizard of Oz. It always, in my head, I think you're going to go, because.
Nick, every time I do it, I have the same thing in my head.
It's like, she's going to do it one day,
because of the wonderful drinks we have.
Yeah.
Oh my God, someone...
And you've always disappointed me so far by not bursting into song. There we go, moving on.
So, we can't. We can't go forward without a drink in hand. It doesn't really work. So, as you know, every week, we create a cocktail inspired by the tale that we tell, and it is flavoured with a secret ingredient from the story. My story this week.
It is.
So the secret ingredient is cider.
Cider. So I feel we've had the cider conversation before, when we had apples as an ingredient. And we went on a whole thing about hard cider and soft cider and medium firmness cider.
Medium firm. Just near to the touch.
Slightly squidgy.
We did online, I think, a few people weighed in, and our lovely, lovely American listeners weighed in saying, like, oh, you can have normal cider, but hard cider.
We're going through it again, apparently.
I don't think we did it on air, did we?
Yes, we did.
Oh, we did. Oh, that's fine. I don't remember. But yes, hard cider this week. None of your little fancy cinnamon stick in there. No, we're talking Somerset proper West Country cider.
Yes, we are.
Cider. You love a cider, don't
I do
you?
Love a cider. I'm great, very partial to a cider on a summer's day.
I'm
very pleasant.
I like cider. I like good cider.
No one likes bad cider.
Yeah, because bad cider is a stuff of nightmares.
Oh, God, yes.
We've all had stories where, as teenagers, we drank the cheap cider.
The Strongbow.
Oh, God. And it's just poison. It's literally poison. The greatest poison of them all is festival strength cider. Don't do it, people. Cherish your brains. Well, actually, Kent, funny story. Yeah, Kent produces more cider than the West Country.
It does.
But anyway, Somerset.
I drink most of it.
Lovely cider here. There are apple presses going, press, for God's sake. Nick has needs. Well, with cider as the inspiration. I'm going to go West Country here.
Lovely cider.
It's a lovely cooling drink. But what have you come up with in terms of a cocktail?
Well, there are lots of options. So I very nearly went down sort of a hot cidery thing. But I thought, it is dark and rainy outside, but we're not there just yet, I feel.
A hot spice cider is pretty
damn
good.
It is lovely, but I think we're not... It's still not the season.
Not quite.
We're not quite there yet.
Another 2 weeks. Halloween, hot spice hard cider with some Calvados in there.
Once we hit November, I'm all for the hot spicy things. but we're not there. We're not there just yet.
Okay.
So I've gone for something different.
Okay, what have you gone with?
Well, it's actually surprisingly light and bubbly. We've gone for a hazy daiquiri.
Oh, interesting. I'm thinking daiquiri, but with cider.
Pretty much.
Yay! Oh, it sounds delicious.
Love a daiquiri. Love some cider.
Love that happens. Hazy feeling that you get from drinking copious amounts and all the cocktails that we've had apparently so far. Yay! So, without further ado, I think it's time for us to go into the Poisonous Cabinet kitchen and shake up a storm. See you in a minute.
See you in a bit.
And we're back.
Hello.
So, a hazy daiquiri.
Hazy
daiquiri. It looks interesting.
It looks hazy.
So, yes, I was in the kitchen, obviously. We were both in the poisonous cabinet kitchen, seeing you mix this up. I have questions. but why don't you talk us through it, Nick?
Well, a lot of cidery cocktails are, as we discussed, very autumnal.
Yes.
Lots of mulled things or hot things.
I like those.
Which is very nice, absolutely. We're not there yet.
You've just decided we're not there yet, no, and today has been torrential downpour.
It has, but no, I am not prepared to succumb to
peer pressure.
to that, absolutely. Yeah. So it's called a hazy daiquiri. There is a cider maker, producer.
Presser. Cidery.
In Somerset called Thatcher's. They make a cloudy cider called Haze. And this is where this comes from.
Oh my! So it's a Thatcher's original.
So it's a Thatcher's original cocktail. Oh. So it could be terrible. But we're going to give it a go.
So I don't mind a Thatcher's. Thatcher's is quite a nice...
It's a perfectly pleasant cider. It's one I drink fairly regularly.
Yeah, it's sort of mass-produced, that one, but it is. Yeah. But it's a nice Somerset one. Yeah. You know, if you're going to get a can or something, you'd definitely go for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Was this on their own website?
This was on their website, and there was a whole selection of cocktails to make with Thatcher's cider.
Okay, talk us through it then.
So we have, daiquiri. So we have a base of rum.
Nice.
Unsurprisingly. Bacardi white rum. We have lemon rather than lime.
Lemon and apple, I get it.
So,
I think probably
because of the cider, I think lime might be a bit clashy with cider. Yeah, yeah. So we've gone for lemon, but then a bit of sugar syrup, nice, as you would expect from daiquiri, and then some cider.
Okay.
Now this is a carbonated, slightly fizzy cider, so it's not entirely flat. So I'm expecting some sort of sparkly fizziness going on. So yeah.
Okay.
So it's going to be interesting.
Well, let's dive in and try it. The hazy daiquiri. Courtesy of Thatcher's, who they can sponsor us if they're listening. Okay, let's try.
I find that very pleasant.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's actually really nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's surprising.
And you can actually tell the daiquiri, that citrus and rum thing, that's got the cider kick as well.
The cidery kick.
I'm pleasantly surprised by that.
I'm pleasantly surprised by that too. I was really expecting
you were not expecting much.
But with the lemon as a change, actually, with the rum, because, I mean, I love lime. But
it would not work with that.
Lime can just kick over to being too bitter.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't work at all.
No, it wouldn't work with that. But I think that's actually very pleasant.
Second sip. Just to make sure. Just to double check. That's damn tasty. Again, it's a really simple recipe that they couldn't really get that wrong.
No, indeed.
And they did a small... It's only a small measure, isn't it?
Quantities and things will be out on social later on today. We don't expect that the lovely folks over in the States will be able to get this particular brand of cider.
But
whatever,
like,
it probably works that it's a fizzy one.
Yes, a sparkling cider.
I wouldn't
cider.
Go with a flat one, but any sort of sparkling cider I think would do you a treat on this one.
Just nothing too cheap, you know. Go for a nice local produced one.
Yeah.
Use it as an occasion to go out in October, go apple picking.
You are quite obsessed with the picking of seasonal fruit.
Yes, I am, because no one will fucking do it with me. I want to pick seasonal fruits and vegetables.
Listen to this week's Patreon. Sinead goes on for a rant for at least half an hour.
Yes.
About how no one will go pumpkin picking with her.
I know. I want to go and pick a pumpkin.
And no one will.
No one will.
Because we're all bastards. But now you want to go apple picking,
daiquiri picking, rum picking. I will do the lot. Guys, go mad. You've got cider at your disposal wherever you are, so mix up whatever you can. Just see what happens. Have a cider. Oh, well, with our hazy daiquiris firmly in hand. Are you ready for a story, Nick?
Oh, I should hope so.
Hooray! So with cider as our inspiration, as our secret ingredient, where could we be going, Nick? Where could we be going but Somerset in England?
Nice.
Yes, I did go with cider. Somerset, this is where this week's story is set. Seemed obvious. It was either that or cheddar.
Cheesy cocktail would have been more challenging, I feel.
It would have, yeah. But no, Somerset, what else could we have but cider? As we tell the tale of Sarah Freeman.
I do not know this tale. I'm intrigued.
This was a tale that was sent to us by our lovely friend Tim Cloak.
Well, how excellent. Thank you very much, Master Tim.
One of our expert witnesses over on Patreon, a master historian and a big fan of the show. And he doesn't live in Somerset. He lives in Devon, which is next door.
Yep, very close.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So, Sarah Friedman, we are firmly in cider country, so get your ear of corn and your straw hat.
Is this going to be poison cider?
No. It's not. It's just cider because we're in Somerset.
Because that would have been cheating, I feel.
It's more inspiration, so Somerset cider inspired
oh,
it.
Oh, now it comes in. Oh, it's more inspiration.
It's inspired, it's so inspired. It's cider. Because there's many things in here that I could have picked. You pick the ingredients as we go along, so we'll see what happens. Sarah Friedman, there is a picture of her that will accompany this episode, and I swear to God, it is a weird sketch of her, probably at trial. Bonnet, kind of this time. So we're in the 1800s, around, she was born in 1817, and she died in 1845.
Oh, right,
but this
okay.
picture of her, there is some sort of scarf thing round her neck, and I swear to God, when you see the picture, it either looks like a giant snake or someone's lower intestine.
Nice.
This is how this sketch looks. And there's no way that it can be fashion, but apparently that's what she was wearing. So, yeah, she's striking from the start.
I'm now intrigued by this. I want to see the picture.
Sarah Friedman. She was born Sarah Dimond in Shapwick in 1817. Charming, charming village.
Charming, delightful.
In Somerset, not far from Glastonbury. Which is nice. And also now loud music.
Yes, now very different. Yeah, now very much. Yeah, drum and bass.
Drum and bass.
Well, I don't know. It was a loud music that I could think of. The rock and roll.
Bloody hell. And now Sarah came from a poor family. Poor but honest. Parents were Charles and Mary. Sarah was lucky enough to receive an education.
Very lucky.
Very lucky.
Damn
out there
lucky.
In Somerset.
A girl going to school.
A witch!
God!
She went to the local school. School wasn't that much good because Sarah, by all accounts, had a terrible temper. Oh, yes. She was said to have a vicious temper and it worried her lovely parents greatly. It was just written that she just was constantly in a rage.
Okay.
Just wandering around, smashing things, tearing at books. But at school, she did learn to read, write, and was instructed in the use of a needle.
Excellent.
Hopefully for sewing.
Or possibly as some sort of surgeon.
What is a very good school out in Shadwick, the small village of Somerset?
There's injections and stitching people up. It's yeah.
Botox, early Botox it was. But this foul temper of her got her in trouble more than once at school. Yeah, there must have been a softer side to Sarah somewhere along the way in between the mad bouts of tempers and stabbing people with needles. Because by the time Sarah was 18, she had left school.
At 18, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Normally it's like out by 9. Why is at school?
Well, she may have left school earlier.
Right, okay.
But it is remarked in the limited records of the time that definitely by the age of 18, she had not one, but two illegitimate children.
Oh, that's good going.
Yes, yes. And you can imagine at the time, scandal.
Oh, God, yes, absolutely.
Not exactly welcomed.
No, indeed not.
Would not do at all for a woman to be brazenly conducting affairs or bedding their way around the village and bearing not one but two children. One is, we can ignore that, but two, come on, they're there, we can see them. It was quite enough for the people of Shapwick. So Sarah was effectively chased out of the village. Whether she was hounded out, they said. Now, I don't know whether that was just they nodded in that direction and just go, or whether there were pitchforks.
I'm thinking pitchforks, flaming torches.
Just hurling shit at her.
Absolutely.
Yeah, either way, she left. And she headed off to the heady heights of Bridgewater.
My God.
Bustling market town down the street. Oh, yeah, not the street. Down across the county slightly. Bridgewater, which is a wonderful place. It's got really interesting history, which I won't go into, but it is home to the Brick and Tile Museum.
Nice. I have nothing more to add, to be honest.
It has genuinely, it's got a really interesting history of all sorts of political history and stuff like that there. First place, I think, to oppose slavery in Britain. Nice. Good for them. And I also liked in the Middle Ages, it had markets that sold wool and wine.
An excellent combination.
Excellent combination. You need sweaters and to get drunk. Sarah moves to Bridgewater. It's a town. There's more people there. So Sarah thinks she's going to make use of the skills that she has. She's going to...
Shagging people.
Yes, pretty much. She's had two kids.
Yeah.
I mean, she must be really good at it. She's had sex twice.
At least twice.
I mean, wow. Can you imagine such a thing?
I can't, personally, no.
In Bridgewater, she becomes a prostitute.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes. Small town, but, you know, people have needs.
Well, absolutely, yeah. People got to work, people got needs. So.
People are drinking that cider all day.
Yeah.
They need someone to hold. Apparently, she moved to London for a short time to ply her trade, but then quickly moved back home again.
A lot of competition, I would imagine, in
yes.
London.
I'm wondering what happened up in London. Is it just that they do terrible, depraved things and she's like, no, back to Bridgewater, or that she was just rubbish?
Yes. Bridgewater, probably a relatively small town, probably not that much competition.
She goes up there, there's prostitutes everywhere.
Set her own rates sort of thing, so it's a seller's market. as it were, but London, it's all over the place.
Wall-to-wall hookers.
Wall-to-wall hookers.
And she's probably a little bit of a country bumpkin,
yeah.
So she's standing in the middle of the Strand, just banging pots and pans together. Get your shags here!
Is that how it works?
Well, for her. The other prostitutes are a bit more refined.
A bit more refined, yeah.
But either way, London does not work out for her. So back to Bridgewater she goes. And she falls pregnant once again in Bridgewater. You know, prostitutes shagging around.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Accidents are going to happen. But this one, oh my God, it comes with more scandal. If you can believe it.
Surely not.
For the man with whom she committed improper intimacy was a clergyman.
How did I know you were going to say that? Well, it's going to be a vicar.
Well, what? There's not other options for scandal, really.
No. When you said that, I thought, it's going to be a vicar.
Be a vicar. You know, the local chimney sweep. But what the clergyman does is he doesn't want the scandal, but he wants to do the right thing by young Sarah. And, you know, he nobly puts his hand in his pocket and pays another man to marry her. solves all the problems,
absolutely. Yep.
Enter Henry Freeman, who got a cash sum for wedding Sarah. I don't know if he knew her. I don't know if he was known to either of them before. He was just wandering the streets. Marry this woman. There's a tenner. May well have happened. Shockingly enough, they get married, but the arrangement was reportedly the source of many arguments between the pair.
Well, not entirely surprising, I feel.
He said, "You've shagged a vicar. Who are you? Why are you in my house?" But she's
got three children now.
She has got three children. Three children that we know
of.
Or two
and one on the way or something.
Something like that, yeah. that we know of, yeah. So she and Henry settle in a cottage in Pedwell. It's a hamlet near Ashcot. This is just a geography lesson.
Yeah, I have no idea where those places are. So.
I've never been to Somerset. I don't know why I'm going into this much
Pedwell.
Detail.
Yes, I know it well. It's a hamlet near Ashcot. I have no idea where either of those places are. No one else does.
Funny thing is, again, during these stories, I try and research the areas. Like, oh, it's a really interesting history or ghost stories or anything like that. I read the Wikipedia entry for Ashcot, which is the kind of village of this is a hamlet, and Ashcot is bloody proud of itself in this Wikipedia entry. It's the most boring detailed bit of admin, which they really prosper about, and there's no reason this town should have a Wikipedia entry, but by God it does. I might share it later. But there's Sarah, Henry, her son James, her young son James, a daughter is somewhere as well. We let's assume number three is on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lodger also named John Wake. I don't think the lodger does anything in it. He's just there.
He's just there.
She shacked up with this man, house full of boys. Not really her choice. She's stuck in there with her kids and Sarah's beginning to feel a little bit bitter. little bit disgruntled, and that famous temper is starting to swell and rise within her. And she decides that things need to change around here.
It's a very common theme in a lot of our stories.
Yeah. Woman shacked up.
Yeah.
Not really disgruntled, terribly happy.
Unhappy.
Yeah.
Oh, look, death.
Oh, you assume.
Oh,
you
assume my apologies.
Death.
Yes.
She thought she'd change her ways and change professions.
It was a priest all along. He killed them all.
No, it was that one day, 7-year-old James
was not expecting that one.
Begins to complain of stomach
cramps. Oh, fuck's sake. Enough of this bloody...
He begins to vomit. He's put to bed. The sickness worsens through the night, and by the following morning, he is dead.
Ooh.
Poor little James. What do they think the cause is?
Oh, cholera.
Cholera! Cholera. I think we need a sound effect for cholera, actually. Cholera chimes or something.
Yes.
That sounds a bit jolly for such a horrible thing.
Cholera castanets.
You need to get... Oh, we need to get castanets.
Get castanets.
I had a pair of castanets when I was a kid and I could not make them work.
Oh, no.
They're impossible. How people do it, I don't know. Anyway.
Practice and skill.
We just actually have the sound effect for cholera is just bad castanets. Me just going, fuck! Yep, cholera. No one questions this child's death because no. Cholera is, of course, rampant. Rampant in the marshes and in the places, in the villages, in the towns, and the cities. It's everywhere. No investigation, no questioning, into the ground. Poor young James goes. But not long after, close to Christmas in 1843, husband Henry is also struck by a mysterious illness.
Is this cholera as well?
No, it seems like he has the same symptoms. Yes, yeah, stomachache and vomiting and heart palpitations. Oh, God. This time the doctor does visit. And takes an interest because he's a grown-up, apparently.
Oh, yes, he can pay.
He has money. I'm just going to pat him down for a second. Is that his wallet? I need that for his diagnosis. But he, of course, diagnoses cholera. Leaves him some vague drugs. They just say they leave him drugs. Nothing is to be done. Henry is dead, but hours later.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So, son is dead, husband is dead. Sarah is alone.
What happened with the daughter?
The daughter is still there. The daughter is still vaguely there. Somewhere wandering around going, Mummy, shush, shush, I have a plan. The lodger is just going, I see nothing.
Yeah.
Now, luckily for Sarah, though, Henry was a member of the beautifully named Life and Death Club.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar. What is the Life and Death Club?
It's not an offshoot from Gilmore Girls. Which I've never seen, but I believe it's referenced in that.
Thing? I don't know.
I googled it and Gilmore Girls came up a lot. Oh, so anyone who's watched Gilmore Girls, I never saw it, but no.
See, in my head, I've got sort of like the Hellfire Club thing going on. And it's really exciting. Like they go there every week. Someone dies. It's life or death.
They could be dominoes. No, unfortunately, it's not a fantastic underground secret club of drinkers and dancers and writers and poets.
And murderers.
It's just some life insurance.
Oh, that's boring.
You
really built that up to something exciting.
I think there were early forms of insurance, but not insurance. That essentially, if someone dies, you get money. Yay! And she gets the princely sum of £20.
That'll probably keep you going for a while.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And in this day and age, that's equivalent to £6 million.
I think you may have made that up.
It's 6 million or 60. I don't know.
It's a number between those two.
It's a number between those two. But she has £20. Hooray, hooray, hooray. Oh, my God. So she is ready to live the high life. She is like, great, fantastic. Off to London. Off to London she goes again. Up her game as a prostitute.
Did she
London.
Not learn from her previous experience?
Maybe because she's got the money. She's got
London
capital to invest.
Place.
Invest in things. She's going to get a bed this time. Actually invest in underwear.
You probably don't want that, really, do you?
Oh, come, the tease, Nick, the tease. She saw all the other prostitutes wearing clothes and she thought, I need to get me some of those. Now, you mentioned earlier on about wondering where her other children are.
Yes.
So I'm going to read you a little transcript from not long after her trial. We are told that her 7-year-old daughter was at her Sunday school, apparently in very good health on the afternoon of the Sabbath day, but on the following morning was a corpse.
Oh, God, that's dramatic.
Mm. It is said that the symptoms of her illness resembled those which would follow the administration of poison. Great pain and violent cramps. Sometime after this, the prisoner went away from the neighbourhood. It was believed to be London.
Well, there we go. Mm.
So, yes, little daughter
Boo.
Is dispatched, allegedly. She's not around. She's not mentioned in anything else. I was looking for ages going, where are the rest of her children?
Yeah.
She's not going to scrimp and save. Sarah is just blowing her money up in London. Money runs out. And Sarah has to return to Somerset. But this time she goes back to Bridgewater.
Oh.
And asks her family if she can stay with them. Because she broke.
I can't imagine her being that popular.
No. That's got a sting. Yeah, as well. Like, fancy life up in London. I was a successful hooker. What are you doing now?
I can't imagine she had a fancy life. I'm feeling.
No, she's not very popular when she goes home. Particularly her brother Charles is appalled. Does not want her near the house. He's most displeased. Most displeased.
She has horrendous rates. She's getting her London ways. And it's like, you can't charge London prices here, love. Most displeased.
Brother is barring the door, going, you can't come in. I don't want you in this house. We know what you've been up to. And Sarah thinks, okay, fine. I'm just going to go shopping. Sidesteps away. Yes, off Sarah goes to the Bridgewater chemist shop. Right. And there, she requests a Thrupney bottle of arsenic.
That's an excellent quantity of bottle.
Three penny bottle. Of arsenic. Arsenic alarm. Rats, she says. So many rats I have to kill. And then the chemist, I think it's not the chemist, it may be his apprentice, but he wisely says... I can't really do this, don't know you and everything, sorry. But she manages to persuade him. It's okay. Because she explains...
Was there sex involved?
No, there's no sex involved. No, she's...
I will procedural with my breasts.
Watch the dance of the breasts. Swinging like pendulums.
Hypnotized you. So give me arsenic.
Follow them. Wow. Those are saggy. No, she uses a much better explanation.
Okay.
Much better reason for why she needs this arsenic. She's rats. Like, okay, well, no, she says rats and everything, but they say, like, oh, we don't know you. And she says, don't worry, don't you? She persuades him by explaining that she is the sister of the local postman.
Right. And that's all she says.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, local postman, see, a man of integrity and respect amongst the village.
Apparently so, because they just go, oh, fine, have the arsenic. What kind of postman operates in Somerset?
But then I suppose they're thinking, well, we know who the postman is. We know Happy George, the postman.
oh, Happy George.
Or whatever
it is. Oh, does he have a backstory? No. I imagine him with a limp.
Oh, I think potentially, yeah. He has seen trouble time, but he's persevered. He's got through them. He's come out the other side. He's a stronger for it.
He's a good church-going man.
Yeah, absolutely. So then his sister, of course, we are going to trust.
Obviously.
Happy George's sister.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, I buy it 100% now. Yeah, exactly. Oh, Happy George's sister. There you go. Okay, fine. If you're the sister of the postmaster, please take all of the arsenic. They do have a caveat as they sell her the arsenic and say, okay, well, if you're the postmaster's sister... Well, apparently they lift up the bottle and really purposely point out the words poison over and over again.
Right, yeah, well.
And they go, can you see the words poison? This is poisonous. Poison, poison, poison. If she didn't know it was poisonous, she fucking knows now.
Right, well, no, fair enough.
So that's their little health and safety check. We've said it. Tick that off the list. So off she goes with the poison.
She'd do that as she left the door.
Yes. What was that? Nothing. A cop. I'm off to the postman. Back, Sarah goes to the family home. And she manages to shove her way into the house past her brother Charles. And get out of my way, whatever, gets in there. And the rest of the family are fine with her being there. They probably should have exercised more caution, shall we say, about letting her in the house.
But you wouldn't, though, would you?
But Charles has got the right idea. I mean, like, she has had, death stalk her at every turn. She's been prostituting herself across Somerset and London.
Yeah, but you're not going to say, you can't come in. Go get out of my house.
I mean, maybe the rest of the family were just kind of too scared of her. But she gets in. Charles obviously doesn't want her there. She's got her mother there. While she's there, she's plotting. And on the 9th of December, 1844... her 72-year-old mother does become violently ill.
Dear.
Oh, yeah. And on the 14th of December, drops dead.
Well, that's not fun.
Buried before Christmas Day, it is noted. Don't interrupt Christmas.
No, God, no.
So now Sarah is allowed...
Who cooks the turkey?
She's now the only woman in the house. And that is a thing, apparently, that allows her to stay. Got a claim to the house as the only woman. Now, I couldn't find a great deal of detail about this. I can only assume it's because, literally, women, they need to cook and clean.
I think you're not wrong on that. Yeah, she's the woman there who has to then look after the men.
Exactly.
Sort of, in theory, I suppose, they're going out to work and...
Well...
I don't know, in the...
Well, Charles is still there.
In the cider mines or something.
The cider mines! What, like, underneath the ground for the good apples that are protected by the mole people?
Pretty much. So it's hard work down there. These men are looking after.
She's been home, like, here's a shepherd's pie. How was your day? There were a lot of apples that tried to kill us.
It's a dangerous job.
So... She has a right to stay at the house. No. But Charles is still very annoyed with her and they fight all the time. They're always fighting. But he can't kick her out because she has a claim. However, Charles plays an ace when he announces that he intends to wed.
Oh, I suppose the eldest son sort of thing has preferentialness.
And if he brings a wife back to the house, then Sarah is effectively redundant. She's out on her ear. What to do? Well, let's just see. They get through Christmas.
Well, that's a good thing.
They get through Christmas Day together. That's an uncomfortable meal, you can imagine. Staring at each other from across the table. Carving viciously. But it was on Boxing Day in 1844, that Charles is suddenly seized by a terrible illness.
Oh, what a surprise.
Oh, the cholera has befallen the house yet again. A doctor who examined him found him to be, and I quote, bitterly cold, vomiting and suffering from a weak heartbeat, yet a racing pulse.
How can you have a weak heartbeat and a racing pulse?
Yeah,
I don't, the same thing.
I don't know. The guy probably was not taking his pulse correctly, just putting it in different places. He was probably taking his pulse on his elbow. Was like, I see no signs of life. Oh wait, this is really going a mile a minute. Either way, let's not lambast this doctor too soon.
Fine.
Much as I would love to,
I'm sure it's just a weirdness of terminology that has changed over the years.
Quite possibly, and it's Christmas and things happen.
I think he had a few too many sherries.
Charles dies on New Year's Eve.
Boo.
Ring in the new year. Yeah, he did. Ha ha ha, Sarah thinks. I shall have the cottage all to myself. She's a pirate now, apparently, as well. And all the leftovers as well from Christmas. But the doctor who examined Charles, he is suspicious.
Those damn doctors, they are generally suspicious people.
They are.
It's inconvenient.
And he decides to examine the corpse.
I'm thinking, you're a doctor... And you've actually noted down, I actually decided to examine this one.
So, this seems very suspicious.
I'm going to take a look at this person that I've been treating for the past 6 months.
We do have a go at doctors, and briefly, I will be fair to them, briefly, because we know how I feel about doctors. You can't do a lot at the time when they're alive, but when they're dead, you go nuts. Go nuts. Examine the hell out of them. You know, he may have suspected things, but he was like, well, you're not going to fucking cure you. Just die, and then I can sort all of this out.
All the examining going on after then.
Well, he does. He takes the viscera.
Nice.
From the corpse, and he sends it to an analytical chemist in Bristol. But I think this is interesting, because he's sending and examining and doing this post-mortem stuff. And again, in the 1845, so we're pretty early on in terms of poisoning testing, this analytical chemist discovers arsenic in the intestines of Charles and in the liver as well, and murder most foul is declared. Sarah is arrested. The bodies of her husband Henry and her son James are exhumed, and yet more arsenic is found in their bodies. Daughter, apparently they don't give a shit about if she even existed.
Yes.
Sarah, I'm dead, I'm haunted. She's just there with a music box instead of turning it. La 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 la. Sarah is tried for murder. She's charged with 4 murders, but she's only tried for 1 count, that of Charles. And in 1845, she goes to trial. Her defence was, yes, there may have been arsenic in their systems, but I didn't do it.
Nothing to do with me.
There's claims and there's different accounts of her defence that maybe some, that she had another brother who was poisoning people willy-nilly in the house.
The secret hidden brother that no one ever met before.
The accounts at this time obviously differ over the years, and there's another James, apparently, and whether that's a brother who actually existed, or they're getting that confused with a son, or
I go back to my point from last week. Do not call your children after yourself. It's far too confusing.
Exactly. She tries to put this claim across. does not work. No one is buying it. The jury takes but 15 minutes and Sarah is sentenced to death. In response to this, Sarah says, I'll try and do this in a Somerset accent.
Go for it.
Justice has not been done me. My life has been unfairly taken away. And she's dragged off to jail. While in prison, you'll like this, shades of some of our other poisoners as well, she somewhat resigned herself to her fate and she made herself a new cap.
Excellent.
She told the female warders she was not going to go up there to the gallows looking a perfect fright.
I'm all for her.
No, she wanted to be stylish. So, on the day of her execution, Sarah ate a hearty breakfast.
Well, good. Mm. Need an appetite for such a thing.
And then she went to the gallows, said her prayers, and uttered her last words, "I am innocent as a lamb."
Oh.
And then she was hanged on the 23rd of April, 1845, in front of a reported 15,000 spectators.
People did enjoy a hanging.
They did. There were a lot of people at hangings.
Lots of people going on
there. Was no TV. So
this is true.
It was a thing.
It was a thing. But, yeah, it seems excessive. I mean, it's sort of like the family day out type thing.
Everyone goes down and that's a concert.
We'll take a picnic type thing and we'll get some cider, no doubt, and stuff like that. And we'll have a jolly day.
We'll have a very nice time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we'll watch someone get killed at the end of it.
Exactly. We'll cheer. Whoa.
Yeah.
The public executions, they were a thing. But there we go. Yeah. That is the tale of Sarah Freeman.
Nice. I did not know any of that tale.
There you go.
Thank you very much, Master Tim, for sending us that tale. It was an excellent one.
Indeed.
I like that.
I have a postscript that I found that was on one account, which I will read out verbatim, but was a claim that was made after she died.
Because
it seemed
for it.
Quite funny. On the Thursday after Sarah's execution, one George Davis made a statement which was published in the press telling how Sarah wanted to be with him in 1840. They lived together for 6 weeks. Some 3 years later, after the death of her husband, Sarah wrote to George and suggested that she had money, including the £20 from the death club, on which they could get married. He replied that he was going to be working in Wales for a month and that when he returned, he would consider her proposal. She wrote again saying that she wanted to know his answer and that if it was negative, she would serve him the same trick as she had her husband.
No, bollocks.
George sensibly wrote back saying he wanted nothing more to do with her. No. Sarah, however, made several attempts to find George and met with him in July 1844. She enlisted her brother to help find him in the pubs of Cheddar, where he was living.
Right.
Cheddar, lovely, cheese. Mm. Her brother reported back to Sarah that George would not see her and went to pick up a pint of beer that was on the table in the King's Arms where Sarah had been waiting. Sarah told him to put it down, as it was for George, and then picked it up herself and threw it into the fire grate. Earlier, Sarah had asked for a spoon and had been seen to mix something into the beer. Examination of the glass afterwards revealed a yellowish substance at the bottom. However, this was not reported to the authorities and no action was taken.
Yeah.
Seems very convenient, doesn't it?
It seems incredibly convenient. And I'm sure someone got paid handsomely for the story.
So what do you think of the story of Sarah Freeman?
That's a good story.
Yeah,
I like that story. I like the analytical chemist, the viscera that was sent, because, I mean, I grabbed my iPad because I was Googling something, so that was 1844, 46, was it?
1844.
So James Marsh had done his testing things in the 1830s.
Yes.
So this would have been 8 years or so prior, or after James Marsh. So obviously this, I have no doubt his technique was used for the identification.
It seemed logical.
The arsenics,
well, it seemed like it was all the rage as well.
Yeah.
Like probably people were going, "Yes, actually, send shit off.
We know how to test it now.
Indeed,
and we can get a positive result." So,
and suspicion must have fallen on Sarah from everyone dying around her and her being miraculously fine.
Yeah,
because that must have figured in doctors' heads as well. Like, oh, you died of cholera. You died of cholera. You died of cholera. She seems to be okay. Either she's some sort of got an immunity that we need to harvest, or is she killing people?
Yes. I mean, there was the whole sort of like a Typhoid Mary thing, wasn't there? So people did have it and just did not get ill.
Typhoid Mary killed a lot of people.
She killed an awful lot of people. but she herself did not get ill.
She didn't get ill. She was just throwing it into pies. She did Typhoid Marys.
It's not really a poisony story.
A little bit.
Ish.
But there we are.
No, a good story. I like that a lot.
If only they drank more cider.
Well, quite. It would have solved all their problems.
Shored up their immune system.
Yes.
What do you think, guys? What do you think of the story of Sarah Friedman? Do you think she was crazy? What do you think her methods were in London as a prostitute that got her chased out of town, apparently?
Was she really chased out of London?
Well, she left pretty sharpish. She pretty kept sharpish. Trying to go back and they wouldn't have her.
Do you think she had a photo up or a sketch of the train station?
A wanted poster.
Yeah, do not let her in.
Do not let her in. She's trying to shag everything and she's not good at it. So hairy.
Thanks for that.
Do you have a favourite cider? Do you have a favourite cider wherever you are? Let's continue the cider conversations that we've had before.
Yeah, we're getting into cider season.
Cider season. Should we do a hot mulled drink?
Oh, we certainly shall. We certainly shall.
I think we should.
When we come more into the season.
You're damn committed to November.
It is too early.
It's October for Halloween. Don't care. Halloween, you would have a hot spice cider. I used to make that all the time.
Well, you're wrong.
Well, guys, do send us more suggestions of seasonal. I think
you're
in
obsessed
autumn
with
Christmas,
the seasonal thing.
I'm obsessed with the seasonal thing, and I'm not going to let it go.
So just do it. Otherwise, we'll never hear the end of it.
Send us seasonal suggestions of drinks and stories. Please do for October. We've got a few spooky stories lined up, but by all means, send us more inspiration for the season or for Christmas, Michaelmas, as it approaches.
Yes. That too.
Do, if you haven't already, leave us a review on Apple iTunes. Massively helps us and any other podcast you listen to. And if you do leave a review, do us a favour, please share them on social media, because we don't always see the reviews and we love to share them. We like to say thank you, but in certain countries it doesn't actually show up on our phones.
No, we only see the UK ones because that's where we are, so we don't see the ones.
So do post pictures of it, send it to us. We'd be delighted to see them. We want to give you credit.
We crave applause and validation. So, and if you have liked what you have heard, rambling, if it's your first time joining us, welcome to the Poison Cabinet. We do have a very exciting Patreon. You can join us there for more episodes, more rambling and exciting things.
And also, because it is getting colder, check out our merch store. We've got hoodies on there now. Thank you for listening, guys. We have been the people inside the Poisoner's Cabinet. We will see you next week. And remember, your loved ones are trying to kill you.
Bye.